All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Arm Hug YouTube channel. And I'm here with two lovely guests. If you guys have seen a lot of our episodes, we're bringing back guests that have already been on and have answered some of your questions and are going to start answering some of the YouTube questions that you guys have been putting out these past few months. I mean, it's grown so much. So first is Janessa Blackwood from Envision Care Medical. Second guest is Attila Overton from A&N Medical Phlebotomy Services. So let's get started. So our first question here from Nikki, how do you bill and how do you solicit a provider in order to get your account with Quest and LabCorp? And how much do you charge your patients?
I think that was one of my questions, but as far as the billing goes, we use, direct cash sale. We send an invoice to the patient. We don't use, I can only speak for me. I don't use insurance for billing because they take forever to pay and they don't like to cover multiple services up front. And so I tell my patients, which 90% of the time, if they submit the invoice to their insurance provider, then they will get reimbursed for the services. So they don't mind paying either way. As far as soliciting the providers, I would say, just try to build relationships with providers so that, you feel comfortable asking that question. A lot of providers, their NPI numbers are attached to their practices. And so with their malpractice insurance, it doesn't always cover anything other than their place of business. So if they say no, that's primarily the reason why. They can either tell you yes or no. So I would say, build a relationship if you know any doctors and just put that question out there. Either they're going to say yes or they're going to say no.
To piggyback off of that, as far as billing goes, I personally don't bill. A company did try to train me into billing. And as I looked up the codes, it's literally, depending on how much you plan on charging anyway, you're going to get $3 and some change out of that because you're not a lab. You're not a provider that is writing these orders. So you're just providing a service. And that's something I explain time and time again to any patient along with the providers. As well, I let them know up front. And a lot of the providers, they are truly, and they are aware themselves that phlebotomists won't get paid unless you are a lab. So I don't plan on opening up a lab. I never mentioned I was going to do a lab. I don't want to be responsible for the patient's results. So that's the only way you get paid. However, you can take time out of your day in your state to look up all those codes to add up to what you're doing. I personally don't have the time to, and I don't think I ever will, even with my team, I wouldn't even let them sit down and do that. But that's an option if that's what you truly want to do.
Got it. So the two options are you can bill insurance or you can. Like you don't have to.
But you definitely, let me add this in, you will need to have an NPI number. You definitely will. You have to have your NPI number. You have to state who it is you are. And if you are fortunate enough to some way, somehow get contracted with a doctor's office, someone that is actually the head of the office, then they can link you to their facility or their practice, and then you can get paid. However, you got to make sure, you have to be aware that it may take years. So it may take a while before you receive a check. So you have to keep that in mind. You have to be very close with the account billing department. It's a domino effect of things that you will have to be mindful of. But those who want their money today, I advise you to let the patient know up front, whatever your rules and regulation, pay me before service or after, or however you want to do it. And let the office know or send a receipt, because all my patients get a receipt that the service has been provided and have been rendered, and you let the office and the health insurance people deal with that part. But me, however, you definitely need an NPI number for that.
And so I guess the follow-up question, it looks like Deborah wrote here, do patients privately pay? Which I think she's talking about this, which is, you know, are they paying out of pocket? And it looks like yes.
They are. Yep, they don't mind paying the whatever your fee is, they don't mind.
And especially if they need it, of course.
Yeah. And you will get the question, do you bill to insurance? We get that all the time. However, I do let them know that most insurance companies will not cover most services up front. And so with that being the case, I just let them know that they do get reimbursement from their insurance company once they submit our invoices. And so all of my patients thus far, whether it's Medicare, whether it's a private insurance, they always get their invoices reimbursed from the service. So
Let me add, because I hear this nurse practitioner, she's a good friend of mine, in the back of my head saying, yes, insurance will reimburse. No, they won't. But the only way let me tell you why. The only reason
Minute, because my patients haven't had any issues.
No, let me tell you, they reimburse because the doctor or the nurse practitioner has to specify the reason.
The reason, if
that patient is walkie-talkie, of course the insurance is going to reject it. But if that patient happens to be bedbound and the doctor specifies that in the diagnosis, then that will, you know, that you may get paid from that. So I did, I just heard her voice in my head. They will pay for it. So keep that in my mind.
That is true, because in some instances I have got calls from specifically United Healthcare where they have asked me, you know, what was my role in the whole process of, was I the actual lab? Was I just the specimen collector? Mm-hmm. That was information they would ask me. And once I answered those questions, they were like, okay, no problem. So I guess it depends on the company.
Case by case.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I have gotten those questions from insurance providers.
And this is how we should treat it when you're thinking about starting, I think, a mobile business, case by case.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're going to get something different every time. And doing this consistently for so long, it's something different every time. I don't think there is a time, if I'm not speaking to Atila or anybody else, we don't have a story. So and it's more than likely it's going to be about the money. So whether we're too high, we're too low, we're too this, why you don't take insurance, why, you know, just a little bit, it's always going to be a case by case situation. However your business, however you choose to run your business, that is on you. Stick to it, and it's going to be a trial and error. So me doing this, 5 to 6 years, it's still a trial and error every day. So just try it out and see if it works. If it works, okay. If it don't, it don't.
Yeah. We have a question from Carla. It says, this is such a blessing to see that some of the videos are not 2 or 3 years ago. I have a question of choice. For some cities or locations, we cannot start a business unless we work under a doctor, which means you don't even have access to step out on your own. Unless you work under the doctor's EIN, our labs will not let you order any products. So disappointed, how should I go approaching this?
Is
she talking about ordering tests?
That's what it sounds like.
You're not ordering any tests.
I wouldn't even want to order a test, to be honest.
Exactly. Like that's why the physicians get paid the physician dollars. We don't do any of that. So
of course, I mean, you have your companies that you can assist the patient ordering.
Right.
That is a good marketing segue that, I mean, I know between Attila and I, we use like, it may be a college student that say, hey, I need to get, a QuantiFERON done. I need to get that TB done. And they don't have a physician or they don't have insurance. Then of course you can, even though my nails are a little funky, but you can order it, but let them know the site to go to. And, you know, you order, you can go that route, but to just abruptly create your own requisition and just to order a test. No, I never done that because
that's legal.
Exactly. So no. As far as working, what did she mention working under? She has to work under a physician or something?
I wonder
what order products. She says, unless you work under the doctor's EIN, our labs will not let you order any products. I think it's because she has experience working at a CSL plasma pathology lab.
Okay.
And she's like a certified phlebotomist and she's trying to jump to out to get on her own.
Oh, is she talking about supplies, maybe?
Right, maybe. That's what I'm thinking.
She's well, she like, could order from Arm Hug. Go to www.
That's right. There you go. So,
yeah, I think that people don't get it because the next question is from Symbiote. It says, can you make a video breaking down how independent plebs receive orders? So I think there's this idea out there where it's like you're getting orders from somewhere, you're working on someone else's, on someone under someone else. But it's like if you're independent, you can't be working under someone else and be independent. Am I right?
There are people out here that are stating, actually, the first person that I thought was a mentor of mine, she actually works for a doctor, but she's stating that she's independent. So she's, but now, long story short, she is utilizing those patients that she herself offered the services, but it's through that doctor. Now that can happen. Me, myself, and even Attila, we are strictly independent. However, in order for you to receive the orders, you either have to, you're gonna have to network. You are gonna have to do like a door-to-door, going to patients' homes. Well, not directly, let me not say patients, going to a neighborhood and possibly either you can do a mailing system or just, because I know one time we went to doctor's offices and dropped off our cards and flyers and things like that. And to remind them, hey, this is still a service that we provide. Other than that, I do not work close with a doctor. In particular, it is a doctor that works closely with me. There's a difference. We do not even have a contract in place. I don't work for him. And I let his patients know, I don't work for this man. When they ask me, oh, can you do, when they want me to do things out of Envision Care, absolutely not. You refer back to him. I do not work for him. I'm here to draw your blood and that's that. Now, there are phlebotomists that may work closely with a physician under their business. That's fine. Claiming it to be theirs, that's fine. No judgment here because sometimes you gotta make it, you gotta figure till you make it. I get it. But I never done that. I never done that. That's a way for you to get orders. But however, physicians, me receiving business is word of mouth, Google, and getting those orders either directly from the doctor's offices. Patients will Google you or look up for a service, or they may just type in lab service. You just happen to be in their area close by. They see that, you explain to them what it is that you do. And of course, you can't draw the blood without the order. So you should know how to take care of from that. And I know it's going to be a question after that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, so that's good. You separated that there's two different types of options. So I think that that's a good thing. I think the follow-up question is like from Leah. Hi, I've worked phlebotomy jobs just based off experience. In Ohio, you don't need to be certified to work, but to start a mobile phlebotomy business, do you need to be certified to register for an LLC? I'm confused with this. I have over 5 years of verifiable hospital experience. So I think she's trying to say that she doesn't need to be certified. And there's a response here. I do think that when you register for an MPI, they ask for certification.
Right.
So what advice would you give her if she's thinking of starting a business?
I would say definitely get certified because your patients are going to ask that. I've had patients ask me, are you certified? You know, they want to know this. And it makes them more comfortable with, you know, utilizing your service. As far as the LLC, you don't need it to get an LLC. Anybody can get an LLC. You know, that's just, you just registering your business, basically. But as far as, you know, doing the patients, and especially if you want to approach these biomedical companies and physicians' offices, you want to have that in place as well as your, you know, whatever malpractice insurance you need to get, you know, and every company asks for a specific amount. So I would say, no, that has nothing to do with LLC at all. But definitely get it. I mean, I would, if you're trying to, this is what you're trying to do. Yeah. You might.
Did you guys start schools? You can plug in schools here. Go get it. One of these new services, they have school.
Yes.
Get certified. And then another question here from Yemi. Let's see. How do you build private insurance? So I think they're also trying to build Medicaid or Medicare. I don't know if that's even possible. I don't know if people do it out here. Thoughts?
Janessa.
You must have, based off my training, you definitely need to have an NPI number and send your invoice to, actually ask them where you're going to send, where should you send your invoice? If that's what you want to do, more power to you, but I will tell you, that's all I got, it's more power to you. But you just ask that insurance company, where can they send the invoice, and good luck from there. Yeah, good luck.
Got it.
Being a retired mentor.
That's one of the questions.
We'll put that out there. She gonna stress that. Like, don't call me.
Yeah. And it, because those questions are so repetitive. And I know the main thing is people are looking for reinsurance to get started.
Right.
The best thing you can do is get started. Every day is trial and error. For me, to this very day, is trial and error. It's down to the people I meet. It's down to the people that I even want to bring on for my stuff. Invite, like, let's trade. I know that who I can shout out is Whitney down in Atlanta. Like, we exchange information. Like, she gives me a broader information, but however, the information she gives me, sometimes I can't implement here because in Maryland. In Atlanta, apparently you can do whatever. You're free to do whatever. And it's like, okay, girl, thanks for the information, but I can't use it, you know?
Right.
But I know with that being said, with all of that being said, the main thing people are, with all those questions, they're overthinking it. And the main thing they're looking for reinsurance to get started. I don't know what's the worst thing that could happen. I mean, I know plenty of worse things that could happen. But don't focus on that if you are experienced. I get people that's been doing this for 20 years and out the blue, they want to start it. Me being a retired mentor, based off your questions, I know why you shouldn't start a business, why you can't be a CEO or entrepreneur. Or based off that, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can't mentor you because you're not really ready. I feel like it's not for you, and I could be wrong. So, don't think, oh, I got an LLC, I'm a boss, I'm this and that and the third. No, it's a lot of stuff behind the scenes. You can do the job. That's where everybody think, oh, I can draw blood all day. So can I, but the business side of things is completely different. It's a totally different rodeo. And that's where everyone lacks experience and don't think about. You're worried about billing insurance. Go ahead, bill them all day. But don't come back to me, girl, I still ain't get paid. Oh, okay. All right. Did you get an NPI? Oh, or they paid me $2.50. Okay. Did you look up the codes? Like, it's a lot of research. The same thing, same question that's being asked. Yeah, they're on Google, but of course it's not more detailed. But a lot of people, these questions are looking for reinsurance to get started. And I'm here to put that battery in your back to get started. And there has been days where I'm like, I don't even want to do this anymore. I'm just saying, that's just my truth. Because the more work piles on, and we're not talking patients and students and things like that, but it's more of the ownership work, the CEO stuff that people think that they just think and they're just drawing blood. But, you know, to each his own. It depends on the structure of your business. However, just start it and see if that's for you. If not, you know, then it's just not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Janessa just answered the question from Larry. Okay. How can I get mentorship on my mobile phlebotomy business?
You are funny, but yes, I'm open to mentorship.
Yeah, you want people to reach out. So I'll put your information below the video so that people can reach out for mentorship.
Sure, thank you.
Question, you have resources to get set up with laboratories and get contracts. I have a mobile labs business and don't know what to do next. Any advice?
Call Attila. Call Attila.
Oh my God.
Absolutely. And I get it. It's really,
it's funny.
No, but it's serious. These questions, it's interesting. And I will say, working at an outpatient service center is where I gained a lot of my experience. To even run how I'm running mine. But other than that, I didn't have any of these questions, interesting enough.
All right, that goes to show you, you know, I think that what Janessa you're talking about is you have to go and find these answers. Like, nobody's gonna have a booklet out there. I mean, they might, but you might need to pay for the booklet, right? I mean, it's information. You might have to pay for that information. You might have to take a workshop. There might be a class you have to go to, networking.
Yeah.
You have to ask. Yeah. And I think what you were saying, you have a friend out in Atlanta who you could talk to, and like, you guys talk about business. Maybe how's it going? That's also good for like regulations. What's changed?
Exactly. Right.
And so I think that's great. I mean, you have to keep doing that and just continue to stay connected, because it's like, it affects everybody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right, next question is from Miss Al. Have you purchased the POC machines, or are you partnered with a laboratory?
No, not me.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Am I partnered? Yes, but I'm not into COVID and all that, so. Mm-mm. I thought I was, it's booming, but once I hear three times, don't do it, then it's going to be a no. So,
you mean for the COVID testing?
Yeah.
Have you heard that it's not, has not been a good experience, you think?
Bottom line is, I don't want to be responsible for no one's results. Mm-hmm. And again, here in Maryland, for us, like, I have a clear waiver, but I have to have, or which I do have, a nurse on it. It's not me. So even if you look, if you try to be one of those people, oh, well, she doesn't have a CLIA. Of course, not in the state of Maryland. I have to have a nurse or a nurse practitioner or a doctor or biologist or something on there. So good luck trying to look that up. But so I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to have nobody else responsible. So I just stay very clear, keep it lab, doctor to patient, phlebotomist, go in and just send off. That's what I just want to be responsible for, collecting the specimen.
Right.
Good. I'm glad that you guys are really going, like, you're digging in deep into some of these questions. Mm-hmm. Like, I keep getting questions about needing a license or certification. I think that's happening because people are living in different states. So this question's from GM. If you're in California, you need both a license for phlebotomy and a certificate. I already have my certificate, but until I get my license, I cannot even work. In other states, all you need is a certificate, but in some you need a license. Is that normal?
In California, it's always been like that, though. Mm-hmm. So I don't know too much. I don't want to speak on California, but it's always been like that. However, if I was that person and I'm in California and I need to get an additional credential, I'm going to still proceed. That's just me. I'm not telling you to jump out there, but that's just me. I would still proceed, at least promoting my business, because you may run into somebody that has their license. You insure them, put them on your insurance, and then they just work for you in the meantime, in between time, and go from there while you get the license. But California's always been heavy regulated, so.
Yeah, I agree. And the next question is from Moya. I work for LabCorp in Virginia, and I'm looking to start my mobile phlebotomy business. Is there a contact to pick your guest's brain? And I kind of just wanted to add to that. If she's already working in LabCorp, isn't there a way that she could partner with them?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, they're not doing that. They are, trust me, I tried already.
You're their competitor, although they have
they're doing mobile now, so,
and because they are now investors in that particular company, is going to be a little tricky. So because you're completely you have to keep things business and don't go to work, oh well, I got a business, and then marketing your business on a job as well. So that's where you're going to mess up, because now you're taking their patients, although you may be taking the specimens back. Kudos, but they're not going to trust you, because if it was me as the business owner, I wouldn't trust you coming in here drawing my patient's blood, but you're promoting your business. So you got to look at it on the business aspect of things too. So just little things to keep in mind.
Right. Next question from Misha. First, let me say thank you for this. How can I become an instructor for phlebotomy?
Ooh.
So are there certifications to teach?
You can contact either Janessa or myself.
Oh, nice. Okay. To learn more about becoming an instructor.
Yes.
Absolutely. Is there like a separate certification they need for that, you guys think? Or that depend on location too?
That may depend on accreditation company. Because I know I've went to two different places, one that cost me an arm and a leg to actually stand before a board to go over everything to get this, to get my credential, then go to another accreditation where it's just straight to the point. So it really depends on where you go. So, and also be mindful of the small companies, even like Attila and I, be mindful of who you contact because you want to make sure we are accredited and your certificate is coming from X, Y, and Z board. So don't, I know many, many moons ago, I tell all my students that, I was once scammed. I didn't know any better. And I was along my other coworkers while trying to get my certificate as a phlebotomist at the time. So, and then I still have the certificate, but as I look up the certificate number in the board, they never even existed. So just little things like that, keep in mind. But I know for me, I went through two different accreditations to get the certification. So you will need it if you plan on opening up a school, but it's beneficial if you plan on, you know, going to work at community colleges or working at work workshops or opening, doing your own little workshop or something like that. It looks good. Let me say that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, thank you guys so much. I think that was all the questions. Any advice for people who want to start? I think, Janessa, you already talked about it. Like, stop asking the questions, just do it. Sometimes, even to add to that, like, I'm thinking of someone in particular, you know, you have to go through a few bad things, and it's like, you're going to get through it, but that's part of the experience. Yeah. It's not that we want you to go through anything bad. It's just that, like, for instance, I know people who, you know, don't feel comfortable paying themselves enough for starting a business and like, there's so many other things that are going to start happening that you're going to have to start learning about. So I guess for you guys, you're going to start, or you're already scaling, but you're going to start thinking about other things, right? Yeah. Blogs, videos, which I hope you start doing.
Yeah.
Shops, right? There's like online workshops you could do now.
Yeah.
Online school. I don't know.
Yeah.
So what's next for both of you? Let's end it with there.
Well, I'm gonna continue teaching and running my mobile business. And I also plan to mentor. So sooner than later. So yeah.
That's exciting.
As you all know, I'm a retired mentor.
Yeah, this is so funny. You're so big. You
know, I am retired. I still get these calls. And I'm all about keeping it professional because I may need that person one day and vice versa. Nothing new coming up in per se, but if you need business credit, now I do business credit. I will assist you on that. But other than that, and also the credit thing is nothing new. I've been doing that. But other than that, nothing, I can't say anything new. Nothing new coming up, but maybe the video thing that's been taunting me, and we shall see. And if I go through with that, y'all will all know. You will see a post like, oh, wow, she did something. So, yeah.
Just little by little, start little by little.
Yes, 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 yes.
All big things start small.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thank you guys so much. And I'll be in touch. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm excited too.
Thank you. And I'm
a 1,000 more questions.